Heavenly Father, we thank you for your word. Thank you for this magnificent book of Hebrews that is so rich and so deep that means that in just a few verses there are so many things to explore and be challenged by and encouraged by. And Father, we pray that you do that work in us today. We pray that Christ, who is the author and perfecter of faith, will work faith in us in response to your word, that we might run the race set before us. And Father, we pray it in Jesus' name. Amen. Remembering that I can't see you, put up your hand if you're feeling pretty weary of Zoom and sanitising your hands every time you go in and out of the shopping centre and doing that stupid elbow bump thing and feeling guilty every time you cough and haven't remembered to cough like this. You should see some people have got two hands up in the room. We're all feeling that, right? Most of the people I talk to are feeling like that. But I want to talk this morning about another sort of weariness that you might be experiencing. And it's a more serious one. Today's passage from Hebrews is addressed to people who are growing weary and downhearted and weak spiritually in their life of faith. And it might be that apart from, you know, the COVID weariness, it might be that you're also one of those people. If not, it might be that such a season might lie ahead for you at some point. Maybe the Christian life just feels a bit hard or exhausting. Maybe you feel like putting Jesus on the back burner or letting somebody else carry the baton for a while, as if that were possible. If we've been paying attention through Hebrews and what it's been teaching us, we know the danger of that. And today's verses are written as an encouragement to those of us who are feeling not just COVID-19 weary, but spiritually weary. Traditionally, Australians are described as a sport-loving people. The same could actually be said for the people of the Roman Empire of the first century. The Olympic Games had started in Greece, but after years of decline, it was the Romans who revived them. And the Olympics were just the most famous of a whole bunch of different athletic contests that rich Romans sponsored right around the empire. They had their professional athletes doing the circuit with their coaches and their association, just like today. The massive Circus Maximus in the imperial city itself. It was designed for chariot racing, but it also played host to athletic events where tens of thousands of people would attend. And so the image that comes to my mind when I read the opening verses of Hebrews 12 might very well have been the image that came to the mind of the original readers. I picture an athlete on a running track in a stadium surrounded by tens of thousands of cheering people in the stands running the race of his life. The Christian life is being presented as a race, and we who belong to Jesus are being told, run, run the race. The key verb in the opening verses is there in verse 2, where we are instructed to, do you see it? Run with perseverance the race marked out for us. And Hebrews is not just telling us to run. It's coaching us in how to run so that we win. If we want to get to the finish line, spiritually speaking, if we want to win the race, spiritually speaking, then we need to listen to these verses. These are the coaching instructions from God himself. What are God's coaching instructions if we are to win this race of faith? Well, the first one is see the crowd of witnesses. Look at verse 1. Therefore, since we are surrounded by such a great cloud of witnesses. Last week, you remember, I described chapter 11 as a portrait gallery. You remember it gave us the portraits of those Old Testament believers who had exercised a faith which pleased God. We saw Abel. We saw Enoch. We saw Abraham. We saw Moses. We saw many, many others who had exercised a faith that God commended throughout their lives. We looked up at the pictures of those guys who believed in God's power and goodness, who had trusted his promises to the end, who had hungered for his heavenly reward all the way to the end. But now we step out of the gallery and into the stadium, and we're not looking at their portraits anymore. Now they're there. They're up in the stands in the stadium, row upon row upon row of them. And what are they doing? They are witnessing. They are testifying. At the top of their lungs, they are telling us what they know, what they have seen, what they have experienced. They're going, you can run the race of faith to the end. Look, we did. God's strength is great. You can do it too. Run. The prize is worth it. The promises, they're all true. The heavenly reward that we longed for, it is even better than we imagined. Even if you feel like you don't have the strength, keep going. He got us to the end, and he will get you to the end, and the end is magnificent. Keep running. One of the reasons that God's people must know God's scriptures is that in those scriptures we hear the witness of that great cloud who have run the race before us. When God's word just seems unbelievable, we can hear the witness of Abraham and Sarah who received impossible promises from God and believed them. When we feel weak and fearful about what God is asking of us in life, we can hear the witness of Moses, who trusted and obeyed God despite his overwhelming sense of weakness and inadequacy. The first thing that we have to do is see the crowd as they testify to us. In God's strength, they say, the race is winnable and the prize is worth it. The second coaching instruction is to throw off the things that stop you running effectively. Look at the second half of verse 1. Let us throw off everything that hinders and the sin that so easily entangles. The Greek athletes, who were the sporting stars of the Roman Empire, they ran their races naked. They would completely strip off every single piece of clothing that could slow them down or trip them up or get caught on something. In the race of faith, we're called to strip off anything that can hinder our running. And part of that is sin, which, let's be frank, does easily entangle. Lust and greed, they can trip us up by entangling us in a false and delusional worldly dream of some sort, rather than a focus on the heavenly reward. Pride can entangle us in the fantasy of self-sufficiency and render us incapable of the humble repentance that is the necessary daily rhythm of the life of faith. Selfishness can hold us back from discovering the life of love that is God's will for all of his children. Laziness, lack of self-discipline, those things can trip us up because they mean that we're always too indolent or too distracted to focus our attention on God and never have time for the things of God because we've wasted all the time on trivialities. Make no mistake, if you are complacent about your sin and leave it unaddressed, sin will not just slow you down in the race of faith, it will see you snagged and trapped and choked so that you don't make it to the finish line. I hate mixing metaphors. But we need to have in mind the old, you know, war footage of the limp, dead soldier hopelessly entangled in the barbed wire, riddled with bullets. Why? Because his belt end and his unsecured lanyard were snagged by the wire and he was trapped. This is where sin will leave us if we leave it unattended. What is the sin that you have left dangling and loose? You know what it is for you. The passage says to you today, throw off that sin, because it will entangle you and it will stop you getting to the finish line in the race of faith. But it's not just sin that we're to throw off. We're to throw off everything that hinders, the passage says. Even good things can become hindrances when we value them and prioritise them over the best thing, which is God himself. Work, leisure, family, friendships, these are all good gifts of God. But it is also possible for us to turn them into something else. For them to become so important that they become weights that hinder us in running the race of faith. And there are, you know, all sorts of ways that that can happen. Many of you know my enthusiasm for scuba diving. If a sunny Sunday morning means that I'm going to head for the water instead of the gathering of God's people, diving has become a weight to me that I need to throw off. If I cut my support for our Link missionaries because I want to buy some new regulators this year, diving has become a weight to me. Is there a hobby or a toy that in practice is more precious to you than God is? Well, you need to throw that thing off. It's a weight now. If a friendship regularly leads you into places of temptation or causes you to question God's goodness or not to be who God's word tells you to be, then that relationship has become a weight that is hindering you in the ultimate relationship, the only one that matters for eternity. And you might need to end that friendship. If my job regularly requires me to bend the truth or to manipulate other people, then regardless of how well paid it is or, you know, how flexible the hours are, it is weighing me down in the spiritual race and I am to throw it off. Not everything we need to throw off is sin. Sometimes things that are good in themselves become weights that hinder our spiritual race, and if they do, then we need to throw them off. What is the good thing that's not sin, which is most likely to hinder you in the race of faith? Throw it off. See the crowd of witnesses, hear their testimony. Throw off the things that stop you from running effectively. Thirdly, recognize the nature of the race. At the end of verse 1, the race that's been laid out before us, the one that requires, that, what does it require of us? It requires us to run with perseverance. What sort of race requires perseverance? A sprint? No. No, the race of the Christian life is a race of many laps. It's an endurance event, like a marathon. I read a thing from a pastor this week who, he was rung by a woman who wanted to follow Jesus, but her life was a bit of a mess. And among other things, this pastor encouraged her to read her Bible, to read God's word every single day. And her response was, yeah, I tried that for a couple of weeks. It didn't work. That's not how the race of faith works. 2 weeks is just settling in the starting blocks. The race is a lifelong one of patience and stamina, of thinking that you've reached the limit and then discovering that in God's strength and by God's grace, not your limit at all. The deepest joys of the Christian life do not come easily and they do not come quickly. They come over time with sweat, often with pain, sometimes with tears. But they are very, very deep and they are very, very beautiful. The great evangelist John Chapman used to say, brothers, the first 40 years is the hardest. And then he made it, the first 50 years is the hardest. And then it went to 60. But if you knew Chapo, you knew that he loved every day of that long race. Even the longest, hardest years, he had joy in Christ and he ran hard all the way right to the end every day. Recognize the nature of the race. The fourth coaching instruction I'm going to talk about today, and the one that I think is the most important, fix your eyes on Jesus. Fix your eyes on Jesus. Look at verse 2. Let us fix our eyes on Jesus, the author and perfecter of our faith. And Jesus is the author and perfecter of our faith in two senses. Firstly, he is the one who creates our faith. He is the one who provokes faith in us in the first place. And he is the one who sustains us and grows us and deepens us in that faith over that lifetime of running. From beginning to end, he is the agent of our faith. We have faith, we persevere in faith, because he works in us by his Holy Spirit. And this is a great encouragement. I don't have to run the race only in my strength. I run the race of faith in his strength, and his strength is sufficient that it burst open a tomb. Every step we run is in his strength. And that's why the Christian must be engaged in the activity of prayer every single day, because we need his gracious work in us every single day during this race of faith. But there's a second sense in which he is the author and perfecter of faith, and I think it's the sense that is most in mind here. He is the perfect example of faith. He is the A to Z of faith, who shows us what it looks like to run the race of faith well. We are to fix our eyes on him because he will show us how to run and motivate us to run and strengthen us to run. And if we do fix our eyes on him, what do we see? We see him enduring the humiliation and the degradation of the cross, and we see him enduring the opposition of the religious and the political leaders who hung him there on that cross. And we see him endure it. We even see him scorn it because he saw the glory of what it was achieving and it filled him with joy. He saw that the outcome of it was God glorified and himself seated with God, sharing in the joy of that glory. And of course, he saw the way open for us to be there with him in that glory as his beloved brothers and sisters made righteous. We see that he endured for us much worse than we will ever endure for him. And we are reminded that the mighty strength that enabled him to do it now lives in us by faith. And so even when the race of faith actually turns into a military-grade obstacle course, we can persevere and we can overcome because he who lives in us is greater than he who lives in the world, as John puts it in 1 John 4. And we also see the glorious ending that he ran towards is also the glorious ending that we run towards. How are you going in this race? Maybe you're someone who's just starting out and you need the reminder that this is an endurance event. Maybe you need to reflect on the things that you need to strip off to run the race well right from the beginning. Maybe you've been running for a long time. Maybe you're a bunch of laps in. Maybe your arms are feeling a bit floppy. Maybe you're feeling it in the knees. Maybe it feels like hard work because you foolishly picked up some things that are weighing you down. Or maybe you have some sin that snagged you onto something and holding you back and threatening to end your race. Or maybe you've let your eyes drop so you're just seeing the sand on the track in front of you. Maybe your mind has wandered and you don't hear the testimony of that great crowd in the stands. And so your pace is slowing, or you've stopped just for a drink. Or maybe even you're getting ready to wander out of the stadium. Look up. Fix your eyes on the author and the perfecter of faith. See how he ran for you all the way to the cross. He ran to nails for you. Hear the guys who have followed his example, cheering you on with their testimony. Keep going. It's worth it. He'll give you the strength to do it, and the end is magnificent. See where he is now, seated at the right hand of God in glory. That's the finish line. That's the podium. That's where you're running to. Look up. See it. And so strengthen your feeble arms and your weak knees. Call on his mighty strength, and because you trust in his mighty strength, keep running the race with everything that you've got. What is the sin that's holding you back? Make the decision today to cut it off. Take out the knife, cut it off. Repent of it. Seek his strength to leave it behind on the track. What have you foolishly weighed yourself down with so you don't have the time or the energy or the focus to invest in the only relationship that matters for eternity? What has become more important to you than he is? Strip it off and toss it away. There is nothing more important than getting to the finish line in the race of faith. Nothing at all. And in his strength, you have everything that you need to do it, just as that great cloud of witness testifies to you. So, do not grow weary. Do not lose heart. Fix your eyes on him who endured what he endured and run on. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, lift our eyes and fix them on Jesus, the author and perfecter of our faith. And keep them locked on him, Father. Open our ears, Father, that we may hear the testimony of that great cloud of witnesses and be spurred on by it. And Father, strengthen us with your mighty resurrecting strength. For those who are weary and tired and worn down in the race, Father, supply them with your strength that we might run and run and run all the way to that glorious and magnificent end. And Father, we pray it in Jesus' name. Amen.